from a brain tumor. And she will say, I remember Daddy said, powerful position. It's a trust given us by God. Happy Father's Day, my dear brothers, and you women who made that possible, because it is a group effort last time I checked, right? All right. Well, the edge is dismissed. Well, several weeks ago, on Mother's Day, doesn't seem that long ago, we visited number 5. Do you remember that? The 5th commandment. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Thank you, Zach, for Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Pleases God. Fathers, raise your children up in the instruction of the Lord. That's a great passage. That's a great parenting passage. Well, we gave some thought to what it was to carry out this command of God in regard to our mothers. And we surveyed the scripture and found that young children under their mother's care are called to, do you remember the word, obedience. Leaving their mother's home, those entering into adulthood are charged with the responsibility of taking on the adult role themselves. Responsibility. And then, as mother declines with her age, her adult children are called by God to provide protection of her dignity and autonomy. We're going to visit that text at the end of our message this morning. But today is Father's Day, and we're going to revisit God's 5th commandment with the goal of providing some practical guidance from God's word in carrying out that command, honor your father. What does that look like? How do you do that? 3 words came to my mind as I thought about that challenge. They are legacy, integrity, and piety. When was the last time you heard the word piety other than just a split second ago? It's a great word. All 3 of those words are great words, and they're going to challenge us in this simple matter of honor your father this morning. So we're going to begin with that first word, legacy. What is legacy? Simply put, it is inherited responsibility. 17 times throughout Scripture, we find this phrase, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I tell you what, every time you hear that, what you're actually listening to is a statement about legacy. And it's worth our attention as we think about how to honor our father. So where did it begin? Well, you know, when you hear that phrase, it almost always is in reference to a promise that God made to Abraham and then passed down to his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who became the father of the sons, who became the heads of the 12 tribes of the nation of God's chosen people. Now that's a legacy. In those 3 names, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, each of these fathers lived in the light of that promise God made, and they saw themselves, listen, and I think this is where we're going to find some application. They found themselves as guardians of that sacred trust, legacy, that inherited responsibility. They saw themselves as guardians of what God had promised to their ancestor Abraham. And that trust was going to demand of them their own personal faithfulness. That's legacy. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews, therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's legacy, isn't it? And we as dads don't have the option of thinking that, you know, it's just us and it's just now, because it's not. It's about all those dads who have gone before us. It's about where we are right now, and it's about all those who will come after us. Have you ever been down to Harmony, PA? Maybe a half dozen of you. Did you ever go into any of the buildings there, down in Harmony, PA? There's one particular building. You know what Harmony was called before it was called Harmony? Murder Town, exactly. Then the Chamber of Commerce got together and they said, you know, that just doesn't market real well. Yeah, actually, it was interesting because Murder Town was where George Washington almost got murdered by a bunch of Indians. But then this German utopian group moved into Murder Town and decided to call it Harmony. A much nicer. And it just a man and a woman who led that group going to Harmony, PA, gave rise to generation after generation after generation. And you can go into the building where they have the family tree, and they've pictured it as a literal family tree, and the thing is massive. It's like the length of one of those walls. And it's sobering to see how one dad affected all those lives as that tree just blossomed over really just a few decades. It's a sacred trust that requires our personal faithfulness. Well, understanding that that's what a legacy is, it's a big part, that sacred trust is a big part of what it means to honor your father. So what about Abraham's legacy? Well, let's look at that just a little bit more carefully. Listen to this. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What do you think about that scripture? Anybody, just pop up here. What do you think about that scripture? Didn't have Jesus? Okay. Every time I hear that verse, you know what I think? I think of Father Abraham, because the scripture says that all those of faith are in that legacy and tradition of Abraham who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Have you ever sung that song? Father Abraham had many sons. Matt, you want to come up and do all the motions for me? Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them. And so are you. You know, how is it that we are the sons and daughters of Abraham? It's that verse right there. By faith. And scripture is clear. He is the father of all those who approach God on that same basis. Well, what did he believe? Well, he believed the promise that God gave him. Does anybody know what that promise was? What was that? That's one of the iterations of that promise. It's one of the ways in which God repeated it to him, because it came not just one time, but it came several times. Where was the first time? Right back there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Look at that with me. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That is an incredible promise that extends down right here to today. Why? Because Father Abraham is not simply the father of all those who have faith, but he is the literal ancestor of the one we call Savior, Jesus. Pretty incredible, huh? And that promise, that legacy with that family began right there. You're looking at a ground zero, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. So what did he do? He believed God, but what did he do about what he believed from God? Well, he left his native country and traveled to a foreign land. He left Mesopotamia. Well, I should do it this way. And he traveled over what is called the Fertile Crescent. And he lands in what would one day be known as the Promised Land. And the scripture says he lived in a land that he would later inherit through his ancestors. Nothing like being promised a prize only to say, well, you know, it's going to come down the road to your children's children. But that's what he did. He packed up everything and he moved. Well, what else did he do? Well, he believed God for a son. You think that's not such a big deal? It is when you and your wife are nearly 100 years old. Does God have a sense of humor? I've always got that picture in my mind of the nursing home, you know? You know, they're sharing a room, you know, husband and wife. And one day, Sarah looks at Abraham and says, honey, I've got some exciting news for you. Wow. Abraham believed God for a son, even when it seems as though the circumstances were completely against that ever happening. Abraham believed God for a son. And then he willingly offered his son, the heir of God's promise, as a human sacrifice, still believing that God would keep his promise and raise his son from the dead if need be. Wow, that's faith. Abraham believed the Lord, honoring God the Father, and in so doing, began a legacy handed down to his son, Isaac. The scene is Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah, we talked about this just briefly in Sunday school, is a piece of real estate that has a whole lot of significance attached to it. It's actually an area, a region, occupied by modern day Jerusalem. It is where Abraham offered Isaac as a burnt offering. It's where later Jacob, his grandson, would have the vision of the ladder, the staircase extending into heaven and the angels ascending and descending. It's the same area where David, after having performed a census of the nation and the fighting men, and under God's condemnation, the death angel is wiping out the populace of Jerusalem. David goes right there to the same area, and he intercedes before God. Stop the killing. It's my fault. And the death angel suspends the process of killing, and it's right there that David buys the oxen and the threshing sledge from Araunah, and he offers a sacrifice to God. It's there where the temple to this day, that Temple Mount, is constructed. And it's there in that very same area that Jesus, God's son, went to the cross. Mount Moriah. It's a powerful piece of real estate. The occasion is God's call upon Abraham to offer his son as that burnt offering. The process for a burnt offering was pretty gruesome, quite frankly. There's the actual slaying of the offering, and then there's the dismembering and the gutting of the offering. God says, I want you to do that to your son. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. You know, we immediately think of Abraham's faith and his willingness to offer Isaac as a burnt offering to God. But what about Isaac's faith in submitting himself to his father's plan? Put yourself in his shoes for just a second. Surely, a young man capable of carrying all the wood necessary for a burnt offering also had the strength to fight off his 100-plus-year-old father, don't you think? But he didn't. Isaac honored his father by submitting himself even to the point of death. There was a price tag hanging off of that one. And so continued the legacy of faith from one generation to another. Later, when Isaac and his wife Rebekah themselves faced the family problem, the challenge of infertility, Isaac's faith in the promise God made to his father Abraham moved him to take action. What did he do? Well, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. That God-honoring prayer of faith resulted in the birth of Jacob. Now, Jacob had a twin brother by the name of Esau, and God had chosen Esau, or Jacob, over Esau, and you can imagine that did not sit very well with Esau. As a matter of fact, Jacob ended up spending much of his life on the run from his brother Esau, whom he had defrauded. But later on, as they became reconciled to one another, and while Jacob was on his way returning home to his homeland, Jacob ran into someone whom he could not run away from, God himself, and literally wrestling through the night with what he thought was a mere man, he demanded a blessing before letting him go. And it was at that moment we find this record regarding Jacob. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Well, there it is. Just a brief interaction with three lives: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three sons who then became fathers, and who lived their lives in the shadow of the legacy of God's promise that all peoples on the earth would be blessed through them. An inherited responsibility, a sacred trust, requiring personal faithfulness on each of their parts. But what if Abraham didn't believe God's promise? What if Isaac didn't submit to his father or pray for his childless wife? What if Jacob never struggled with God and overcame? Would we be here today? Do you think? Would we be talking about their stories? Would the promise made to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus ever have come to pass? What do you think? Well, surely God would have carried out his will in some other way. But these men, these fathers, responded to that call. And they lived the legacy. Jacob lived the legacy and honored his father Isaac. Isaac lived the legacy and honored his father Abraham. And Abraham lived the legacy and honored God the Father. So here's my point as we think about this one word, legacy. When we live our lives in the legacy of honoring our faithful forefathers, we carry forward their faith to our own children, even as we too honor God our Father. Do you ever think of it that way? It's all connected. It's all connected. Legacy. Well, the second word is integrity. Well, what is that? Well, let's just give a very simple definition. It's the quality of being consistent in character, integrity. A couple of things might help us understand it. It means being true to your word. That's what integrity is. And you've probably run into someone who wasn't true to their word. Jesus actually warned us against becoming one of those people when he said this: simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. What? No half-truths? No partial promises? No. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's integrity. True to your word. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you want to honor your father, be true to your word. Failure to do so dishonors your earthly father, whom people think failed to raise you better. Right? Have you ever noticed that? The family name. And it also dishonors your father in heaven, whose name you bear. True to your word. That's what is at the core of integrity. Here's another word for you that I find especially interesting. Let's use the word genuine. And this one's going to be a little bit more difficult to understand because it is a little bit more complex. But let's see if we can make some sense of it. Genuine. There's a big difference between gold-plated and solid gold. Amen? And when it comes to integrity, the gold-plated person looks good. Oh, yeah. But the solid gold person is good. Oh, my. We live in a gold-plated age, don't we? All you got to do is go to my favorite source for all interaction and communication, which would be social media in general. Facebook, okay. Yeah. Gold-plated. Oh, my. And it's kind of infected the way that we conduct ourselves, too, because as long as we look good, we don't necessarily have to be good. But listen, if you want to honor your father, be true to your word. Be genuine. Have integrity. Not simply look good. Be good through and through, right to your core. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word translated integrity. And in the New Testament, there's a Greek word that is sometimes translated as integrity. Two different words in two different languages. However, both of those words have the same core meaning. Now, follow me here because this can get a little bit deep. But that same core meaning can best be summed up by the word complete. And if you think about that for a second, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? How many of you got a chocolate Easter bunny this year? What, were y'all bad? You know, the chocolate Easter bunny, man, it looks great until you bite into it and discover that it's hollow, right? I said, I was so looking forward to that. You know, I was looking forward to chocolate all the way through, complete all the way through. Oh, well. Well, let's hear the word of the Lord as it uses those words. First, the Hebrew word from the Old Testament. Listen, the occasion here is Solomon's ascension to the throne. He is taking the place of his father, King David, and God is giving him a pep talk before he takes the throne. Listen to what God says to him. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity, completeness, genuineness, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, notice the legacy. Isn't that interesting that God would bring up the subject of legacy even as he's getting ready to commission Solomon to take over the throne of the nation? and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Well, listen to that. It's pretty simple. God describes integrity. He says, walk before me. Don't be walking behind me, skinking around, trying to get away with stuff. Walk before me. Walk under my gaze, God says to Solomon. Do all I command. Observe my laws. I tell you what, that is a very practical definition of integrity. And doing those three things, Solomon would honor both his earthly father, King David, whose shoes he was now trying to fill, as well as God, his heavenly father. Completely genuine. That's what we see there. And that's the idea of father honoring character. Okay, now the New Testament. Different language, different word, exactly the same concept. Are you ready for this? This might be a little bit disturbing. It is Jesus' own words from the Sermon on the Mount. Are you ready? Here it is. Be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect? Wow. That's a little bit of a tall order. Perfect? But it's the exact same concept of being true, genuine, and complete. Not gold-plated, but solid gold. It's exactly the same concept. It's what it means to be an honorable person of integrity who honors both his Father on earth as well as his Father in heaven. Right from Jesus. Right to you and I. Be that person and honor your Father, even as your Father in heaven is honorable. Integrity describes the character of those who honor their Father. Piety is the word used to describe what they do. That is not a word that you hear much these days, is it? Piety. Matter of fact, you might hear a version of that word. Have you ever heard the word pious? And usually when you hear the word pious, what do you associate that with? Huh? How? Hypocrite. Pious. Hypocrite. Boy, have we fallen. God have mercy on us. You know, there was a point in time when piety was actually seen as a virtue. So I ask the question again, what is it? Simply, piety is godliness put into action. That's what piety is. Now listen to this. I told you I was going to conclude with this verse. So here it comes. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon coaches his children on the honorable actions of piety. Listen to what he says. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Isn't that a great Mother's Day, Father's Day passage? I hope you keep that in mind. There is a lot of good stuff there. Matter of fact, let's look at the list. Are you ready? Let's look at the list there. Number one, listen to your father. Why is it hard to listen to your father? I can tell you why. Huh? Speak for yourself, brother. Speak for yourself, brother. don't want to submit? I think it's real simple. The old man sounds crazy. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, he was perfectly sane before he had children, right? Now, wait a minute. I'll go with you so far. I think insanity is involved here. The only question is who? Is he the crazy one or are you the crazy one? God says, listen to your father. It's not easy because what he says sounds crazy, but you know what? Chances are very, very good that he's not the crazy one. Just saying. Look at the second thing. Do not despise or disrespect your mother. That's a choice. That's a choice you make. It is half of number five. You know, I would only say this to you dads. Are you ready, Zach? Can I coach you just a little bit? Winston is the perfect child. Can we all agree? Yeah, because he's not talking yet. You know, there's coming a point in time where those hormones are going to start coursing through his cute little veins and he's going to change, let's say. At that moment, when he tries to take on Olivia and he puts his little adolescent toe across the line of disrespect for his mother, I hope you're right there. And I hope you lovingly say something very embracingly nurturing to him, like, you better pull your little toe back right now because I'm going to break that foot off. Do not disrespect your mother. So when do mothers get old? The moment they have their first child. Look at the next one. By the truth. What's that mean? It just means take a very high attitude toward the truth. You know, I've been watching the news. How many of you are news junkies here? Three of us, four of us. I've been watching the crazy. I usually get the crazy first thing in the morning after I've listened to the truth of God's word. I'll get the crazy. You know, and I came to a conclusion as to the solution for crazy. Are you ready for this? Here's the solution for crazy. Love righteousness. Love the truth. If people loved righteousness and loved the truth, there'd be no crazy left. Pretty simple, huh? Buy the truth. Value it highly. And why do I say that? Because Jesus himself said, I am the truth. Do you think he was speaking metaphorically? I don't. I think he was speaking with absolute clarity about the reality of himself. He is the truth. Three things you want to pack for lunch here in this next section. Get wisdom, get discipline, and get understanding. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is simply the ability to skillfully navigate through life in a righteous, God-honoring way. That's what it is. Wisdom. It's not simply about knowing facts. It's knowing how to navigate successfully through life in a God-honoring and righteous way. Get wisdom. Get discipline. So when do you get discipline? Well, whenever you fail to exercise wisdom, you get discipline. Principal's office, right? You get discipline. But discipline is simply, self-control would be another great word for it. And did you ever notice that the very core word in discipline is disciple? You know, you cannot be a God follower, you cannot be a lover of righteousness and truth unless you are a disciple who loves discipline. And it's not an easy thing. That's why most people don't want to have much to do with it, because if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, what do you quickly find out? That sometimes discipline is painful. As a matter of fact, God's word says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of peace and righteousness for those who've been trained by it. How cool is that? So get discipline. Get wisdom. Get discipline. And what about this understanding? What is that? Where do you go to get understanding? Can you go to an Ivy League school? Community college? Where do you go to get understanding? What's the answer to that question? You're close. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. I think that's something, along with piety, that's rather rare these days, the fear of the Lord. But it's a wonderful thing. And it's not a heavy thing. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is light. It's the fear of the Lord. It's where we say, you know what? I'm going to check in with God when it comes to my attitude, my actions, my priorities for the day. All my responses, they're all going to be governed by Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Anyone who makes that list that you see right there in Proverbs 23, anyone who makes that list their life's pursuit will automatically bring honor to their father and mother. That's how it works. And not just honor, but joy, delight, and gladness. Look at this. What do you get the dad who's got everything for Father's Day? Integrity. Living out the legacy. Piety. It's not what you give him, it's who you are. That's the greatest gift that we can give to honor our fathers. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. We have that choice to be that gift, that honoring gift to our dads. May God bless you in the pursuit of that, because it's going to take some real determination on our part. But when we do, when we honor our Father on earth, we're just in practice for honoring our Father in heaven. I hope that's your goal as you go into the week. Let's all stand. We're going to sing.